Just before I get started, we had an amazing week this week of the women's dinners. We had so many people in here, and they heard the message of Christ, and I think we should join our hearts together in prayer, praying for the women that were here, that God's message would penetrate their hearts. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, thank you for the dinners this week. Thank you for the women that came. Thank you that this place was full, that you are drawing women to this place to eat together, to have fun together, to be with their friends, and to do all that inside this church building where they're hearing of you and hearing of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that you are the one that opens eyes to your truth, and we ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would open the eyes of many, many, many of the women that came here this week. Open their eyes to your truth, Lord. Bring them to salvation. Bring them to acknowledge that you are the Lord and that they need a Savior. Bring repentance, Father, and bring faith in you. Lord, bring salvation. Add them to your church family, to this church family, to other church families. Bring them to yourself, Father, we ask, with trust in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And thanks to all of you that's put so much work in behind the scenes and in front and in the dish pit and everywhere. You did so much work. So much work. So thank you. There are a lot of people that do a lot of things behind the scenes, and we never see them doing it, but they are doing a ton. So thank you so much, and thank you for humbly doing it. We know that there is beauty in the world. We often refer to the birth of babies as the most beautiful thing that has ever taken place, like young new baby Holly Elizabeth Eason, born yesterday morning. That's beautiful. Babies are beautiful. I also think my wife is beautiful, and she's getting better looking the older we get, but babies and Dixie. But there is an act, a moment, that is more beautiful than any other. More beautiful than babies being born, more beautiful than Dixie. And we celebrate it every single year. It's God the Son taking on human flesh. God coming to us, fully human, coming to us by taking on our flesh. But we often sterilize Jesus' humanity. We take away some very common human things. I think we do that because we think it's being respectful. Like don't talk about Jesus having to go to the bathroom. Like things like that. We don't talk about that. It's disrespectful. But things like that keep him distant, keep him unlike us, keeps him in a nice little package that's doable for us. But he is fully human. He was sent by God the Father to go to the cross to glorify God by saving sinners from their deserved punishment, which is eternal death in hell, all the while never, ever ceasing to be God. So this morning we're going to look at a number of scriptures that speak clearly of Jesus' humanity and then try to think about his humanity in very common and realistic ways. And if you've ever thought that it's no big deal to believe that Jesus came in the flesh, that he actually came in the flesh, listen to these verses. First in 1 John chapter 4 verses 1 to 2. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay, so test the spirits. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everyone that's talking out there. Test them. And here's how you do it. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. 2 John chapter 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. If Jesus is not confessed as coming in the flesh, in flesh and blood, do not accept that spirit. Do not accept that message. It is not from God. It's from false prophets, deceivers, antichrists. Any message or messenger of God must confess the full humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus coming in the flesh is a foundational truth to the gospel that is revealed to us in God's word. And here are just a few passages regarding Jesus being flesh and blood. And there are so many indicating that this is a big deal, but here are just a few. In Romans chapter 8, verse 3, we are told that God sent Jesus in the flesh to take care of sin in his flesh. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus suffered in the flesh. 1 Peter 3:18, Jesus died in the flesh. Ephesians 2, verse 15, in his flesh, Jesus removed the guilt of our sin that the law of God rightly condemns. Colossians 1, verse 21 to 22, Jesus reconciled us to God in his flesh. Now, the Greek word translated as flesh means the soft substance of the living body which covers bones and is permeated with blood. So we are not talking figuratively here, not fake funny flesh, a real human fleshy body which Scripture records as being touched by the apostles, got hungry, got thirsty, and got tired. God the Son, Jesus, has a fully human body. And like all humans, he has feelings. He has feelings like he cried, he sighed, he got angry, he got annoyed, he got overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He was grieved. He felt compassion and pity. He loved. He had joy. He wasn't a stone cold, no personality robot. Fully human with feelings. And as we see in Luke 22, verse 42, and chapter 23, verse 46, and a lot of other places too, he submitted his feelings, his will, his very life into the hands of God the Father. The second person in the Trinity, God the Son, the eternal Word, he became flesh, born from a woman's womb, as all humans have been. He took on, he assumed human flesh, human nature in its entirety at a specific point in history. God did this. God, he did this. And at Christmas time, we are distracted and say things like, here's my Christmas list, or is that a real candle? That's not a real candle, that's a battery candle. Why can't we have real candles at Christmas? As though the incarnation is some old news that we are so used to hearing that we don't even hear it anymore, or it's lost all impact and all greatness in our lives. Church, God the Son, who never, ever, ever ceased being God, came in the flesh. Came in the flesh. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word, Jesus, always was with God, because he is God. John 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became a real fleshy person and dwelt among fleshy people. And he is full of glory and full of grace and full of truth. You want to talk about something beautiful? You want to know something truly significant? You want something of worth to spend your time thinking about? Here it is. The everlasting, uncreated, sovereign God became a man, not for fun, just to try something different, but to give his life as a sacrifice on our behalf, a sacrifice for our sin. Jesus receiving the punishment we deserve because of our sin. God takes on flesh in order to go to the cross. This is beautiful and amazing. God so loved the world that he gave his only son who came in the flesh. This is what the world needs to hear. Not your opinion about Trump, not the 4,000 selfies you have on your Facebook page trying to convince everybody that you have a great life. This is what the world needs to hear. Who is going to go tell them? Who? Amen. God came in the flesh. Isn't that outstanding? Can you even... What is that all about? Wow! An author named Sam Storms does such a good job of thinking through Christ's humanity in one of the chapters in his book called Pleasures Evermore. And I want to go through some of these sayings to help us hopefully fall in before the Lord in worship of him and get some of that amazement back of who Jesus is. We kind of hear the story, the manger, and yeah, oh, that's a good story. And in December, we hear it 45 times. And oh, when January comes back to normal. But this is an outstanding, outstanding piece of history. So listen to these. Let them bounce around for a while or write them down for later. But don't tune out. Listen to what God the Son went through in the incarnation. Just listen to this, okay? The Word became flesh. God became human. The invisible became visible. The untouchable became touchable. Eternal life experienced temporal death. The transcendent one descended and drew near. The unlimited became limited. The unbreakable became fragile. The spirit became matter. Eternity entered time. The independent became dependent. The almighty became weak. The loved became the hated. The exalted was humbled. Glory was subjected to shame. Fame turned into obscurity. From inexpressible joy to tears of unimaginable grief. From a throne to a cross. From ruler to being ruled. From power to weakness. God lowered himself and came to sinful humankind. And think of the humanity of Jesus. How familiar it is. The sovereign, all-powerful, in one instant, made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus. Holiness sleeping in a womb. The creator of life being created in reference to being in the womb. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God became a fertilized egg. An embryo, a fetus. God kicked Mary from within her womb. God entered the world as a baby amid the stench of manure and cobwebs and prickly hay in the stable. A baby dependent on a human. Mary cradled the Creator in her arms. Envision the newborn Jesus with a misshaped head, wrinkly skin, and a red face. Just think, angels watched as Mary changed God's diapers. Tiny hands that would touch and heal the sick and yet be ripped by nails. God learned to crawl, stand, and walk. He spilt his milk. He fell. Was he uncoordinated? How well did he perform at sports? Perhaps Jesus knew the pain of always being picked last when the kids chose sides for a game. Jesus probably had pimples and body odor and bad breath. God went through puberty. His voice changed, shaved. Girls probably had a crush on him. Boys probably teased him. There were probably some foods he didn't like. As a carpenter, he had calloused hands and probably dealt with customers who complained about his work. Jesus, fully human, fully human. So often we speak of Jesus without any of these common human characteristics. We sterilize him into someone who doesn't even sound anything like a human. We do what's done to some models in their photo sessions. I saw a video of how a model was made to look like she had defined stomach muscles when in reality she didn't. There was a team of people with makeup drying muscles on her stomach. Models, their pictures are often retouched so often that it doesn't even look like them. It's difficult to see what they look like in reality because those are such a sterilized version of them. And that's what we often do with Jesus. We downplay or ignore or just stay away from his humanity and have this sterilized version of him in our minds that we've created. But he is fully human, yet never ceased being God. Fully human. We just finished a sermon series on heaven, and we saw how fantastic heaven is, what we will be experiencing for eternity. However good we imagine heaven to be, we know that it's better than that. Being with God face to face is going to be incredible. With life being that good with God, imagine how awesome it must be for God to be God. Have you ever thought of that? How awesome it must be for God to be God. He enjoys himself, completely perfect, lacking nothing, in need of nothing. All that is good and fulfilling and enjoyable, he is. And with the incarnation, he removed himself from heaven. God the Son left behind some of his glory, sacrificed all of that, and entered humanity so that he could rescue his people from their sin. His sacrifice is beyond comprehension. It's beyond it. Whatever words we use, however much we try to imagine, it just won't do. He left heaven, God the Father, face to face with him, with his presence, to come here. He sacrificed so much even before the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. It's hard for us to understand how big of a deal that is and how much Jesus left behind to come here to us. But what helps us grow in understanding a little bit better, what helps us grow our amazement, perhaps, of Christ's sacrifice, is to look at what we are unwilling to sacrifice. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't think Christ's sacrifice and coming in the flesh is a big deal? Well, look at all the much smaller sacrifices you and I are unwilling and unable to make, and then tell me his sacrifice was no big deal. So here are just a few of the sacrifices that we are unwilling or unable to make. Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 32. It's incredibly difficult for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. It's very difficult for wives to submit to their husbands. In Matthew 5, there's a whole bunch of things there. It's very hard to stand for Jesus and his word and be hated or made fun of or lose something because of him. It's very hard not to be mad and put people in their place or be reconciled with people that you're mad at. It's very hard to stay sexually pure and godly in our marriages. It's very hard to stick to your word and do what you said you would do no matter what. It's very hard not to retaliate when someone hurts you, but to forgive them and be gracious to them. It's incredibly hard when someone steals from you and then to forgive them and give them something. It's very hard to give to beggars or lend to people. It's so hard to love bad people, to bless them and pray for them. Philippians 2 verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. It is so hard to sacrifice yourself for others, even in simple, tiny ways. We can't do it. We refuse to do it. We can't get our eyes past ourselves. And here is God the Son, leaving heaven, taking on all the limitations of humanity, sacrificing himself to save us who refuse to obey the Lord. Wow! Bow in worship before the King. He is incredible. Incredible. I found a definition of incredible that I really like. Here it is. So extraordinary as to seem impossible. So God the Son came in the flesh, sacrificed so much, he is so extraordinary that it seems impossible. Yet, that is reality. That is the truth. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. John 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Church, it's Christmas time, and it's all about the incarnation. God the Son coming in the flesh. Don't lose sight of it. There have been heresies throughout the history of the church saying that, no, Jesus just seemed like a man. He was God. He just seemed like a man. But he wasn't really a man. That is a lie that'll lead you to hell. Jesus Christ had to take on flesh. God the Son had to take on flesh so that he could come here and sacrifice himself on the cross for our sin. Christmas is a big deal, but it has everything to do with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God the Son, coming in the flesh. Don't lose sight of it. Don't brush it aside. Don't do the, yeah, I've heard that before. Think on it. Look at Scripture. Let this captivate your imagination. Let this captivate your amazement. God the Son came in the flesh to save us. What's better than that? Absolutely nothing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending him. Father, we give you thanks that Jesus came in the flesh, that on his flesh you put our sin, that his punishment, his real punishment, which was felt fully in his human, fully human body, full of feelings, that he took it, he felt it. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly came here to earth to do that for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we need your help. We need your help. This Christmas season, we're going to get so distracted. by presents and by these parties and that parties, or by sadness because Christmas isn't what it used to be and it's not that great anymore. Lord, we need our minds renewed. We need our thoughts drawn to you. We need to be in your word. We need you, we need you, we need you. Come, Lord. Come and open our eyes to the incarnation, and may our joy and our hope and our perseverance be fueled by your word, no matter the circumstances that go on this Christmas. May we bring you into all the circles that have to do with Christmas this season. May we celebrate you, truly celebrate you. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Father. We ask this with dependence on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to continue.